What you guys wear last night? Wow. Actually, you guys hide very well because I came early today and I didn't see none of you. So you guys are here. Glad. Now, is Deanna here? Where is she? Deanna. She's back there? Okay, thank you. She is the one. If you have any complaints about me, take her. I want to thank her for the invitation. I didn't purposely say thank you last night because there was not enough people here to thank her, you know, to make that trip worth, you know, the thanking. So today I just want to thank her for allowing me to be here and for putting this weekend together. So I want to thank her and her husband for he's doing all the PowerPoint and all the videos with another young man next to him, and I told him that I will forget his name, so I did. So, but he told me his name. So, some of you ask me, what do you do for a living besides being a pastor? And I do work for International Children's Care. How many of you have heard about ICC? Let me see your hands. Okay, so I need to talk about it because not enough people. International Children's Care is an Adventist orphan and kid orphan ministry. I started in 1977 when the Guatemala earthquake took place. At that time, Pastor Bob Falkenberg was the president of the Central American Union. It was all one union. And the question was, what are we going to do with the orphans that were a result of that earthquake? Well, he gathered a group and he talked to the Flecks. They were an older couple. They were close to retirement and they kind of retired them a little earlier and put them in charge of the first orphanage, Adventist orphanage in Guatemala. Now, one of the things that I want you to know, we do have orphanage in Guatemala, we have orphanage in one orphanage in Mexico, we have one in Salvador, Nicaragua, Colombia, we have in the Dominican Republic, we have in Africa and Europe and Asia. We have around 20 some orphanage. And the reason I say 20 and some is because we do have orphanage in communist countries. And we don't talk about those because governments don't like the idea. If you go right now and call one of the countries and you say, do you have an orphanage there? I say, no. We don't have orphanage in our country. We are perfect. All the kids are taken care of by the government. So it's not true because we have orphanage there in that country. And it's actually going now to a very conflict time of conflict, kind of a civil war. So we do work with kids in troubled areas. And when you go out, there is a little table that Deanna helped me yesterday to set up, and it has some brochures, some pamphlets, some materials, and we look for sponsors, people that will say, oh, I'll help a kid. You know, it doesn't take $30 to raise a kid, but if we get three or four people giving $30, in some countries we can help. Not in all countries, but some countries we could. So we are going around, and we'll show a video that will talk to you about that, and after that we'll pray, and I'll start preaching. How about that, huh? That's what you guys got me here to do, not to do promotion, but you know, just by the way kind of thing. So let's look at that. Let's look at the video.
sponsorship program at International Children's Care is a program that allows the opportunity for an individual to make an immense difference in the life of a child. It means providing food, education, clothing, and the existence of life itself. It's just an amazing opportunity in life to be able to truly make a difference in this life that we all want to do.
We had a young lady in our church that said to us, hey, you gotta do this. She wrote us a letter. She called us up on phone, and we said, yes, we'd like to do this.
Because we'd always kind of been interested, but you know how it is, you put it off and say, yeah, we'll do that someday. So when this happened, we said, yes, this is the time, we'll do it.
My wife and I sponsored a child through Compassion International, and we sponsored him up through him being 18. So we were motivated to sponsor another child, and someone said, well, why not do it through ICC? Mentioned it to our Sabbath school class as a project for the class, and the class themselves said, this sounds like we would like to do this. It was a way for all of us together to say we're making a difference.
I was sitting in my Sabbath school class, and we had a speaker come in, and he was discussing ICC and the help that the children needed. And I thought about things that I had, and I've been so blessed that I felt like it's something I just had to do.
We had several children in our church, and often we have children's story time during the church service, and we wanted to have them bring up the children's offering, and we thought, what better way of using this offering than to help other children, children helping children? And so we thought about ICC as a good option, knowing that they accepted sponsorships, and what better way than for a church to do this.
Truly, there's not a good story of any child as to why they're at ICC. And then to be able to understand what a huge blessing it is in the life of the child to have someone who sponsors them, because sponsoring to them means that they are loved so much by someone else for no other reason other than just to love them.
What affected me the most was her biography. You know, to start life like that, at the same time, she has this opportunity through help of others and a little bit of financial support from our group to know God and to have a healthy and happy and joyous life.
The things that we have done, which really have seemed minimal, it seems like nothing, and yet for that child, it means everything. So when that is communicated through the letter saying thank you, it reminds me that I'm doing something good, but also that I need to be grateful, because this person is grateful for just the little things. This child is able to be grateful for food, housing, a family, clothing.
I try to write our little guy and send him little gifts and so forth, like maybe once a month. So it's just kind of fun to know that I just picture him smiling when he gets the little things I send him, and it's just that extra contact with someone that it really, really means a lot to me.
Well, one reason that we sponsor children through ICC is because I believe that's what God has called us to do. Another thing that's important to us as parents is that our children, our biological children, will catch a glimpse of that compassion for others and want to be involved in ways that they can help other people too. So in a way, it's modeling for our children that empathy and compassion that we want them to have as adults.
I can tell you that I've had many different opportunities to personally spend time with these children that my wife and I sponsor. And there have been many different stories I could tell you, but to me, the one that sticks out in my mind more than any other is a young girl that we sponsored for about 8 years. And then the government found a grandmother, and they took her back to her grandmother and placed her in that home. And for a period of about 5 years, I never really heard anything from her. And there were times that, truthfully, in my mind, I wonder if she'll ever remember ICC, where she came from, or the people that loved her enough to sponsor her. And then Daniel Ixcot was at a restaurant, and as he ate, a young lady walked up to him, and she said, "Excuse me, aren't you Daniel Ixcot?" And he looked up and he said, "Well, yes, but why do you ask?" And she said, "Do you not recognize me?" And he said, "No, I recognize your face, but I don't really know where that's from." And she told him her name. And she said, "I'm trying to find Doug." This was the young girl that my wife and I sponsored for those 8 years. She told me that it was important for her to let me know that through all of her life now, from those 8 years right through the five that she was living with her grandmother, the thing that kept her going in life was the fact that she knew that my wife and I loved her beyond anything. She knew that she was our daughter and that she had a real mom and dad that Jesus provided to her through sponsorship. And to this day, she still has those feelings. And to me, that meant a tremendous amount in me personally to know that she thought of my wife and I in this manner. But more importantly, because sponsors definitely make an impression on the life of these children, because these kids come to ICC without love and without hope. And it's through sponsors and the sponsorships they provide to these children that these young people do receive love and they do receive a hope for their future.
Whenever I've had a chance to tell someone about being a sponsor of an orphan, I always say, do it. If you're looking for a way to make the greatest impact on someone else's life with the littlest of investment in a very real, practical way, then this is a way to do it. And we won't ever know, maybe this side of heaven, what difference we've made. But we can count on this. It's not an unworthy cause.
For the sponsor, it brings a sense of involvement, being able to do something rather than just wring our hands and sit back and say, "What can I do for all the starving children in the world? At least there's a place where I can make a difference." And maybe ICC or our sponsorship cannot impact 100% of all the kids in the whole world that need help. But God hasn't asked us to do that. That's His responsibility. All He's asked us to do is meet the needs that He brings to us, that He knows that He's given us resources to meet. And when we do that, the impact on us is a softening of our hearts and opening up to His Spirit and a growth of love in a relationship that we have with someone we may not even know or meet except through letters and pictures and things like that. But one of these days when Jesus comes, we'll be able to meet them. And that's what is so meaningful about the program.
There's absolutely no question in my mind or in my heart that I would highly recommend sponsorship to anyone who wants to make a difference in this life, in the life of someone else. And I mean truly make that difference, not just something people say, but truly make a difference for someone. In many cases, we're talking about saving the life of children through sponsoring them. It's saving them emotionally, but it's saving them physically from where they come from. They come from a place where many of the young people that are with ICC today would have died were it not for this program. And this program can only exist through those who care enough to sponsor children. Through a sponsor, they now have a hope and a dream for their future. They have a feeling of security because they know they're loved, because someone is providing for them every day of their life through the ICC program. And there's nothing greater that I've ever seen of an investment that a person could make than the life of one of these children at ICC, and to be able to witness the harvest as the child grows, the child graduates school, gets that education, becomes somebody in this world, and now goes on to share the love of Jesus with many other people. The price of sponsorship is nothing compared to the results of the harvest.
Well, something to think about, huh? Next time you are praying, just remember to pray for those kids. They need it. Well, we just got our scripture reading, And I would like to just bow our heads for prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for the blessings that we receive from you. May your spirit be active here today and speak to our hearts, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. They brought it to Jesus. They brought this blind man with the intention. They brought him to him and said, Jesus, will you just touch him? We have seen you healing people by just touching them, and then we just can go on our way. And he did not touch him only, he just took a blind man outside the city. Now, many of us are thinking that poor blind person, and in reality, this can be turned into an analogy of our lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that we, some of us, are just blind. Revelation chapter 3, the book, the message to Laodicean. Some of us are just blind. We are miserable, poor, and naked. Well, one of the problems that I have, I don't know if you do have that, but one of the problems that we humans, I think, have is accepting our condition. Who we really are. And I am not saying that we need to be crushed by the fact that we are that, but the first step into humiliating ourselves or humble ourselves into the presence of God is to accept that we need Him. Amen? We need Him. And we need Him, we need to have a sense of that need. Well, it's kind of accepting the reality of who I am. No matter how well your past was, no matter how good you are doing, no matter how financially good you're doing or how bad you're doing, we all need God. Amen? I'm sorry, but I do like amens, you know? And I will fish for them till I die. I will still ask him. And you too, you're in the sideline, but thank you. Then he took the man out of the city. In the process of God saving us, many times he takes you and I out of the normal surroundings. He has a way of creating a need inside us. Sometimes we are doing well and we don't remember God, or we kind of remember, or we kind of have a relationship with him until we are hit by something that put us in a different setting. Not only removed physically, but sometimes we are removed in a spiritual or psychological way. We're put in a way where, in a sense, I don't know what to do in situations when we have no way of knowing where to go. I believe that God needs us to be in situations like that in order to save us. Thank you. He's getting from here, so it's going to go down. Now, many times, not only he put us in situations that we are outside our surroundings, the familiar surroundings, but sometimes he gives us something that we don't like. You know, he had the ability of just touching him and say, go your way, you're healed. But he gave him some spit therapy. Spit on him. Humiliation, sometimes coming from God, is the best therapy to call for our attention. You know, he spit on him. Have God spit on you yet? Gross. Spit on me? Well, we call it hydrotherapy. He spit on you. One of the problems that we humans, and I do have that problem, is called I'm too proud to be humble. And God is, he needs to break us to build us back. Amen?
Amen.
And that breaking hurts many times. Hurts. God take us to the journey of breaking us, spitting on us, taking us out of the city. And then he, when he touches you for the first time, he says, do you see things? That's a very interesting question. Because one of the problems that we have as humans is that we see people according to our own experience. I can see people the way I want them to be. Not the way they are, not the way God sees them, but what I want them to be for me. So some people have a good relationship with friends because those friends can help them, can help him or her. But as long as they can help, they're my friends. Now you want to lose a friend? Lend him money. You see? And then you don't see them again. Not all of them, but 90% are that way. Many times, God allow us to see for the first time. You come into the church and you start seeing things different. Many times we see things like people like things. We see people like things, objects. And I do believe, and it's my prayer that God need to change me with intention of allowing me to see people the way God sees them. You know, I have a book. I'm not going to recommend the book because I haven't finished reading it. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spiritually. It's impossible to be spiritually mature while you remain emotionally immature. Interesting title. And there's a statistic here that I want to share with you. Church members, that's you and me, divorce their spouses as often as their secular neighbors. You hear what I just said? That means that it's easier for a husband and a wife to break up the way as their non-church neighbors. That's what the statistics show. Church members beat their wife as often as their neighbors. And I will say probably wife will beat their husbands as often as their neighbors. But the guys don't talk about it. No, it's true. We talk about men beating wives, but we hardly talk about women beating men because men won't even talk about it. Church members' giving patterns indicate they are almost as materialistic as the non-Christian friends. That's what this research shows, that when we give as much as the people who are in the world. You know, they give their tithe to Hope for United, or they give it to others, they give money, but we give it to the church, but when it comes to giving, we give as much. White evangelicals, listen to this, are the most likely people to object to a neighbor of another race. Yeah, I graduate from Mount Pisgah Academy. Have you heard about that academy? Asheville, North Carolina. Burned my room twice and wrote on the wall, "Get out of town or die." And I was looking forward for them to burn my room because every time they burned my room, I got new clothes. They gave me a check and said, "Go and buy new stuff." Of the higher commitment evangelical, higher commitment people, 26% think premarital sex is okay. They're going to do it. Now, while 46% of the lower commitment, you know, the so-so evangelicals, believe also that it's okay. By the way, I am in this chapter, so I haven't gone any farther than this. I was reading last night. I'm going to share that with the church. So we do need God's second touch, because somehow in our way of thinking, in our way of relating to each other, in our way of relating in home, in our home, with our partners, with our wife, with our husbands, with our kids, we are needing to bring the gospel into the place where it matters. Don't talk to me about being Christians at church. Don't talk to me about being Christians outside the church. I want to be a Christian in my home. You hear me? That's what matters. How do I treat my wife? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your kids? And we're going to be talking about that this afternoon, about transformation, values, transference, how you transfer, why kids leave when they're teenagers. You know, why? Why? So this man say, "I see people like things, like things." So, today, I want you to think about the second touch. We all need to be touched again by the Master. We all need to be renewed by God, changed by Christ. We need also to be real. You know, people are scared of being real. People say, "I don't want them to know what I'm thinking. I don't want these people to think that I don't like this or that." Or, you know, I'm supposed to be a chip Christian. You know, chip Christian. You're doing a chip program here, right? A chip Christian, you know, they eat their veggies and there's all the good stuff. And, you know, so I need to hide so I can eat what I like. That's true. You know, we laugh, but some people say, "Where is the chip program?" That way, I'm going the other way. But I don't want people to think that I am not a good Christian. So today, when God is calling us and he's taking it out, because if you don't believe me, I want you to think about this. We are here in church to learn to share our journey with each other. And in that sharing, with each other, God is going to change us. He's trying to change you. You're not here only to come and sing the service open the book, worship in the right day, even though you have the wrong mindset. Some people come into the Sabbath with the Sunday mind, or Friday mind, or Monday mind, or Wednesday night mind. It's not worshiping God on the right day, it's worshiping God in the right day with the right attitude, with the right mindset, and God is trying to change us. So today, when sundown gets down, when the sun gets down, you start preparing for next Sabbath. You see, and you see who's not around you, and you call them, and you pray for that person, and we start learning not to be selfish. And I'm not talking about a fish. Selfish. Because you cannot come to church and go out being the same. Are you hearing me? You know, you cannot come to church and go out and just go and say, it was a good sermon, Pastor. I don't care if it was a good sermon. Are you going to do it? You know, it was well delivered. You know, you already know my English sucks, so I don't worry about that. I want you to take what the Bible says and put it into practice. Amen? That's it. Amen. Then we have really made something out of worship. Then it's real that God is touching us. Then it's real that we are changing. Then we can go out and change the world for the Lord. And it's not going to happen because we have a program. It's going to happen because we have the Spirit. Because you have to share. You share. You talk to people. You have no other way to say, you know, I was changed by Christ. You want to know how? He touched me. He touched me. And we're going to sing that at the end of the service today. He touched me. And everything is changed. He touched me. He touched me for the second time. And now I see things. If you're reading your Bible, the Bible said, then he said that he saw things clear. You know how much we need to see things clear? I want to think of me as Superman. And then God touched me for the second time, and I learned that I am not even that. The fact that I wear a cape or I wear some nylon socks or whatever doesn't make me Superman. Many people want to project an image. I want people to see me as a good pastor. You know, I wear the tie. By the way, there are some people that come to church and see these things. And they feel, I'm not against this. I just believe this man is welcome here. And it doesn't have to do with this, you know. I'll take it off so we can be together, you know. You're welcome too. You know, I like, do you have a tie? Are you today? You? I like you. You took it out. That's good. I like your singing. It was good.
Praise God.
It was, yes.
Praise God.
We are here, common people worshiping together because we have been touched for the second time. And now we bring what we have to God. And God is going to make it better. You never come to God and just leave the same way you are. It only happened in the Seventh-day Adventist Church when you come Sabbath. You just come here, worship, and you leave. And you go, it was okay. This is not a theater time. This is not a movie time. You don't go like. We are here to worship God. And the sermon, by the way, is not the center of the worship. I want to apologize. Is that what you thought? The center of the worship is your singing, your offering, the children's story, coming here and share with everybody, that is worship. If the pastor doesn't preach, we still worship. Amen. I know the word is the center, and I believe that the reason that pulpit is in the center because we believe in the word, but we are part of the worshiping experience. Amen. You hear that? The only amen I heard was that. Let's try it again. We are all part of the worshiping experience.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And if you are afraid of being Pentecostal, we're far from that. God wants to change you and me so we can see the whole world the way he sees us. We are blind. Is not that what it says about Laodicean church? Blind? Not even cold nor hot. And I want to say this and I will finish. God is going to come very soon.
Amen.
Christ is coming soon. Maranatha, you know, Maranatha, he's coming. The parousia, he is returning. Even if you're not worried, if you're not ready, he's coming. Because there are people in this planet who are getting ready. And there are things happening. And when you start looking around, you wonder how long we can wait. And Christ is telling us, people in North America, we don't need your money in the world to finish this. We need your conversion.
Amen.
And God is waiting for a church in North America to get on with his plan around the world.
Amen.
So today, I want you to think about it, and I want us to pray. I'm getting some feedback here, but it's because this moves. I don't want you to think about it's a good sermon or a bad sermon or whatever. I want you to think about what God wants to do with you. I think this is a time that we have to think about our salvation and our attachment to material things. Material things. It's not that we don't need them. It's not that they're bad. It's that we're attached. Say, God, send me wherever you want, but please, I need a Walmart next door. That kind of mentality, at least that. And if you're really one of those that don't like Walmart, I need some kind of shopping mall. Well, please, God wants to change us with a second touch today. And he wants us to detach ourselves from all that stuff. Because I want to tell you this, nobody's going to be in heaven if God is not the top,
Amen.
The one.
Amen.
That's it. If you have things bigger than God, and I'm guilty of that, I'm not preaching to you and I'm going, yes, I have achieved it. No, I need to surrender every day.
Amen.
Surrender every half day. Sometimes I find myself going, ooh. And it's not because I want to be saved for safe's sake. You know why? I am learning to love my Jesus.
Amen.
I'm eager to see him.
Amen.
I mean, I'm going to be one of those that are going to sit here. I'm just going to be like his tail. when we get to heaven, because I just want to see him. And you know where heaven starts? So don't wait about the future. Leave today and go into your new life. Let's sing our closing hymn. And if you want to come, I would like to pray with you. You can come forward. And if you have problems moving, just stay there. We'll pray for you too. But let's I think we're going to do the PowerPoint, right?